This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wiggins America.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
Wiggins America.
The only thing I'm going to need from you guys right now is a cup of coffee.
Wiggins.
Today's global economy waits for no man.
America.
Today's global business climate is like, whatever, dude.
Hey. Politics is a dirty game. I'm not sure we want to play.
There are forces here at work that you couldn't possibly understand.
You have no idea how high up this goes.
Welcome to Wiggins America.
You know what's weird? I brought this story up anyway, and I found out that this week is the one-year anniversary of the Bud Light Dylan Mulvaney controversy, which has cost Bud Light a tremendous amount of market share, as I'm learning, just in North America, not in the rest of the world. In the rest of the world, they've done fine, which shows that it actually was that marketing campaign that hurt them here. That campaign has done more to impact business than I think any of us actually realize. Now, the reason I said I wasn't planning on bringing that up is because I had a story brought up about BlackRock. Now, we can talk about BlackRock in a different sense and the way that they're buying up houses and all of the stuff that people don't like about them. But that's not the point of this story. In the Wall Street Journal, among other places, I'll read a headline here. It says, "Step aside, ESG. BlackRock is doing transition investing," as in they're dropping ESG. Now, if you're like me, and roughly about a year ago, too, not just with the Dylan Mulvaney thing, but somebody approached me at my church and said, "Have you heard about all this ESG investing?" And I said, "Well, I think I've heard the term, but I really wasn't that familiar with it." So I started looking it up. Well, if you're like me and you didn't know what that was, ESG stands for Environmental Social Governance Investing. And these are big, big companies that would give scores to the way that the investing would happen based on whether the investment had good scores in environmental awareness, which to some degree was probably fine because it wasn't happening through the government. But anytime you're getting this top-down push, a little wary of it. But if it was just that, I'd say, well, whatever. But it wasn't just that. It was environmental, social, which means social justice. And then you go, oh, okay, I know where this is going. And then governance, in that the way that this would interact with the government or the governance of the social justice. So social justice, I think, is the big part of this that got the most attention, because ESG is almost synonymous with like woke social causes. So if a company says they're very big into ESG, it means they're very big into woke politics, and that they were using the power of their money to do that. It was kind of a big deal. And the biggest companies in the world, at least in the United States and world, were pushing this stuff. Well, that was a year ago. As I've seen, and I don't want to just give you like, well, I'm just noticing. Because I'll tell you, what I'm noticing is that companies are all backing off of that. The headline suggests that. It says, step aside ESG. BlackRock is doing transition investing. If you look into this, there's a few outlets that have written about it. So in their last public statements, BlackRock has moved away from ESG and is trying to use different terms. Now, I don't know whether they're trying to use different terms for the same thing or whether they're actually backing off of ESG investing. But the point is that ESG has become kind of a anathema to people in the investing world real quick. And whether that's related to Bud Light or not, I don't know. But on this show, we like to talk about the powers that be and what moves the needle. This is the kind of stuff that really does move the needle behind the scenes. When you have major, major companies that, I mean, they dictate a lot of American life. I mean, they definitely move politics in many different directions based on what they decide to do. If they're moving away from ESG because it looks icky now, which is essentially what they're saying, that's a big deal, and that's a huge win for America and for traditional conservative values that are not in the camp of woke social justice. I have one personal story I'd like to share with you about selling a TV show. Now, if you're familiar with me, you'll know that I came from TV, and we had a show. If old Roy will attest to this, we had a show called Songstage that was on for a couple seasons on PBS. That was the biggest national audience that we ever had. I worked in TV before that too, for a couple of networks, UPN, CW, WB networks. I worked for them back when I was quite a bit younger. And more recently, we have been trying to sell TV shows. Well, what I've learned and what people have told me for a long time is that it takes a long time to sell a TV show. And many people try their entire lives and never get a TV show made. We're blessed in that we've had two seasons. It didn't exactly crack the national stratosphere, but we've had two seasons of a show, and we're trying to make more of either that show or other things too. So every now and then, I will have gone through the process enough and gotten greenlit enough by certain streaming outlets. In this case, it was. I won't say which one it was. But I was talking to a streaming outlet for a number of months. And I started talking to them probably a little bit last year, but seriously in about October of last year. And they were very interested in one of my shows, our shows. And so it takes a while process, you know, so-and-so has to green light it, then the next person has to green light it, and it just goes up the ladder. Well, finally, by January of this year, the show had been greenlit all the way to the end, and it had one person to go. Well, that person I had one meeting with, and I did a Zoom call with them in February. So this is not very long ago, just February. I had a Zoom call with the last person who had to green light this TV show at this streaming network. And she liked it, but she just has to do some, paperwork things, and whether or not that means it gets just stalled up forever, it's bureaucracy just like anything else. So it may just stall right there. I pray that it doesn't, but we'll see. But one of the things, and this is the first time I'd ever talked to this high-level executive at the streaming company, she just starts, and I don't know if it's because she knew I worked here, because I didn't think she knew that I worked at a conservative talk station. I don't know. Maybe she did. But she started talking about how fed up with DEI programming she is. And I mean, out of the blue. I didn't even bring it up. And she said, you'd be amazed at within the last year, again, I don't even know why she was telling me this stuff. She said, within the last year, you've seen the DEI focus of companies, because that's where she deals with, companies who spend money on programming, not just within the streaming network, but outside, like brands that want to get their brand seen on streaming. She said their DEI funding has been cut by at least 2/3. So it went from X amount to a third of that. And she said it seems to be dropping fast. And I was just shocked to hear this, because this is somebody who's in that business talking to a whole lot of people who are in the business of sharing woke kind of stuff. And I mean, pushing agendas. And a lot of it was DEI. And she said in the last year. So that corresponds almost exactly with what I'm telling you about the Bud Light thing and about BlackRock, that the funding for that type of programming has completely dried up because it is no longer considered the thing anymore. Man, that is the way movements happen. So I just thought I'd share that a little behind the scenes. Now, I'm not going to tell you all of who that is, because I can't really do that. But I thought you'd be interested to know, because my jaw hit the floor when she was just talking about this. First of all, I didn't think, why are you telling me this, you know? But also, just the fact that it's happening, I thought, gosh, that's really interesting, and such a microcosm of the business world at large. Well, we're going to take a short break. So stick around. Of course, I'm going to talk more about Japan. I think I can't get away from it. It's been a lot of fun just kind of digesting the difference of the culture. Things that we do better, things that they do better. That would probably be the same as just about anywhere. But gosh, yeah, it's just a lot to think about and talk about. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Are we too nice as conservatives? That's a weird question, I know. Especially if you're a leftist and you tune into conservative radio, you're like, these people are just full of venom all the time. Yeah, I get that, but I also think that there's a real sense in which mainstream news, and especially cable news, will just kind of lob bombs at Trump and conservatives in general. But Trump is, of course, the focus of the ire right now. And then we just have to kind of deal with it. And then we respond and we're like, no, that's not really the case. And here's why. And we analyze and all these things. And that's the way I would prefer to do it. But is there something to be said for just lobbing bombs? Because people respond to bombs more. You know, you see fire in the sky and it's impressive. And then you see people cultivating fire in the ground and be like, let me show you how to use that fire. That's not nearly as entertaining, you know. So maybe there's something to lobbing bombs. It's not something that I tend to do. But when you hear people on the news referring to Trump as a dictator, for instance. Well, he's a dictator trying to overthrow democracy. Like, these are just bombs. They're huge, huge things. And when you analyze them at all, they fall apart. But it doesn't really matter because the bomb, the fireworks show, is the point. If they can get you to look up at it and just go, oh, yeah, okay, well, that's neat. Okay, I got you. But this week, I heard, and just to conclude that point, there are things that we could lob bombs at Joe Biden and just say, well, Biden's a dictator. We don't usually say that, though. But Biden's actions would be that of more dictatorial than Trump's were, just based on his suppression of the speech of dissenters, you know, during the COVID era. That's been proven now that he was stifling anybody who disagreed with the official narrative. That's dictatorial. Trying to jail political opponents is the same. I mean, these things are very reminiscent of third world dictatorships. But we don't just go, well, Biden's a dictator, like the news does. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, concluding that point to say that I heard a bomb this week on our station, and I was like, man, sometimes I think maybe we should do that more because the bomb was just so good and he flowed right through it. It was actually DeRoy Murdoch on Annie's show this week, of course, which I am a part of. But during that interview, I was just listening, and DeRoy said, well, we're not the party of this and that. You know, this is the party of blah, blah, blah. And the Democrats are the party of lopping off children's penises. And he just kept going. I was like, wow, man, that was just a huge, huge bomb. And I thought, gosh, maybe there's something to that. You know, maybe there's something to the messaging of that. Because when I start to think about it, I'm like, well, yes, there's a discussion to be had there. But ultimately, if you're defending the right of children and medical professionals to, like, lop off little girls' boobs and little kids' penises, that's super messed up. And maybe that does need just some bomb throwing. I say that because I ran across some sound from somebody who I've seen before. Maybe you have too. Her name is Chloe Cole. And the story of Chloe Cole is, and I don't know exactly how old she is now. I'd say probably early to mid-20s is my guess. But she's an activist at this point for reducing gender ideology in for minors, you know, basically like getting rid of the idea of that we should be treating, teaching first and then treating based on those teachings kids how to change their gender. And she's not just talking about changing like the way you look. That's one thing. But she's talking about her own experience, because when she was between 13 and 16 years old, she got so confused about gender that she received chemical sex changes and surgical sex changes. So they cut off this little girl's boobs, and now she has to deal with this stuff for life. And you can hear, I'm going to play the clip here. You can hear it in her voice that she's had testosterone, and you know she was saying, "Well, I'm a boy." So they shot her full of all these chemicals, and she has to deal with this stuff for the rest of her life now that she is detransitioned back into her birth gender, that being that of a female. But the story is that she is getting, that's her backstory. She gets on a call with Disney because I guess she bought a share of Disney. I love this. And as much as I love Disney World and Disney Parks, the companies messed up. They're all messed up. All the media companies are messed up. Like, I don't know why Disney is such a focus. Maybe because they try to be family friendly and they're doing all this stuff in the meantime. Whereas, you know, like NBC Universal, I love their parks too. I love Universal Studios. But they're doing just as much woke stuff. Like, they're all woke. So I don't know exactly why we've like honed in on Disney so much, but so be it. I mean, they're not innocent of these things. But Chloe Cole gets on a shareholders call with Disney. And I don't know exactly how far these things go. I don't know who's listening. I don't know if Bob Iger is actually listening to this. But she recorded her call with Disney where, you know, I guess if shareholders want to speak like at a town hall, they can. This is what she said.
Good morning. I am Chloe Cole, patient advocate for Do No Harm, a group that seeks accountability in the medical profession. I am presenting proposal number 7 titled Report on Gender Transitioning Compensation and Benefits, sponsored by National Legal and Policy Center. Disney pays for gender transition interventions, but not detransitioning care.
By the way, I'm just interrupting here to say that when she says transing, I don't know if she's just mispronouncing the word. She's saying transitioning, but she just keeps shortening it to like trenching or something like that, just so you know what she's saying.
Therefore, the company discriminates based on gender identity under EEOC regulations. I speak from personal experience as someone who was deceived and physically harmed at a young age by gender ideology, validated by the medical industry and pushed to the masses by corporations like Disney. Influenced by modern media and social networks, I began a transition to male at age 12. By age 16, after practitioners I trusted encouraged me to take puberty blockers and get a double mastectomy, I tried to come back to reality, but it was too late. My body has been irreversibly damaged, and years later, my chest is still in bandages. My doctors have abandoned me. You doctors look and shrug. As a result, I am suing those professionals who steered me into taking these destructive steps that have permanently scarred me. But Disney, in its arrogance, has responded to our proposal by stating that I am only trying to generate attention for a limited agenda. Mr. Iger, Disney, under your watch, is pushing the limited agenda of gender ideology. Disney has become the Ursula that is stealing the voices of thousands of little Ariels across the world by telling us that we can be something that we can never become. The lawsuits are coming, sir. It's only a matter of time before current or past employees whose bodies and lives have been irreversibly harmed will show up at your door looking for justice and restitution. Please vote for proposal number 7.
Okay, there you go. So that's Chloe Cole talking on a call with Disney, shareholder call. So I think one of the things that I want to point out is that the lawsuit part of this actually is significant, because if she can sue medical professionals for mutilating, like genital mutilation of children is a real thing, that will change everything. So that's kind of a big deal. But secondly, it drives me crazy when I hear, because this is common. It's not just like in the media common either. I mean, like when the weekdays, you know, we're on the chat with Annie show, there are leftists who get on. There's leftists who listen to this show, and that's fine. Very, very welcome. But when they criticize what you're talking about, when you talk about the trans issue, especially with kids. They'll say, well, or sports. They'll say, you're bringing this up and you're making a mountain out of a molehill. There's so few of people doing this that you're just using it for political gain. That drives me crazy because Republicans, conservatives, whatever, we don't want this to be an issue, period. We're just responding because it has become an issue. This used to not be an issue. Go back and watch movies from 2010. You know, go back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and watch the movie called Role Models. You ever seen Role Models? It's a funny movie. Paul Rudd could not make that movie today. Some of the people in that movie criticized the things that they did in that movie, although they say that they wouldn't criticize themselves. They criticize society, but they're the ones doing the stuff in the movies that they're now criticizing. That's how fast this has moved. Republicans are just responding to the way this has moved in a way that we all wish wasn't happening. If you think that conservatives are the ones bringing this issue into the limelight because it's politically advantageous, then why would the White House talk about this more on Easter, Trans Visibility Day, than they would Easter? It is the White House making it an issue. It is not conservatives. It is not Republicans. We want the issue to go away. We would prefer that gender ideology be something like it was 10 years ago. Is that far in the past? No. You remember what it was like when we all had a better understanding of what boys and girls were. It was a lot easier. People were less confused. There was a lot less of this crap happening to people like Chloe Cole, who now have to become activists to make sure it doesn't happen to other little kids. I can't believe kids are in the crosshairs of this issue. I've gone long on this segment. We have Bill Donahue coming up next. I want to give him ample time because he is talking about kind of the roots of all this stuff. We're talking about the surface issue a lot. Let's talk about where it comes from, the roots of why we're having such problems, why we're kind of at each other's throats. We have completely different worldviews now in America. Let's talk about that with Bill next. We've got a liner we play pretty often. I should have played it coming into this interview. I don't know why I wasn't thinking about it. That says, all battles are spiritual in nature. And one of the reasons I like that liner is because often I play it. And then we just talk about something normal. But it's like a reminder that what we're dealing with is not always just what's on the surface. Bill Donahue is here to talk about that. He is an author. He's got a book coming out in June called Cultural Meltdown. Bill, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So one of the reasons that I said, yeah, let's talk to Bill is because of the topic of your book. You say there's a tug of war, and I have to agree with you here. There's a tug of war going on between two different strains of thought that are trying to, not control America, but control at least the worldview of the way America is headed. One is secular. The other is religious, spiritual. Please dive into that a bit for us.
Right. Well, the country is split. Families are split. And hopefully the disagreements are amicable. A lot of times, any more, they're not, unfortunately. But on the one hand, you have Americans who believe, as our founders did, that this is a special country, that we are founded on the Judeo-Christian ethos, that we believe in God and moral absolutes and natural law and natural rights. The only perfection exists in heaven, not here on earth, and attempts to achieve it can also backfire. Then you have the secularists. They're too smart to believe in God. They know better. They suffer from what the Catholic Church calls the sin of pride, which is the idea that I don't need God. I am self-fulfilling. They believe that you can create perfection and heaven on earth, which is every time they try their utopia, whether it been the Soviet Union under Stalin or under Mao in China or wherever, it always ends in bloodshed. But they never seem to learn anything. They think everything is relative. There's no such thing as truth. And that's a big one. I spend a lot of time in the book going over this idea, this postmodern idea that there's no such thing as truth. Once you accept that, then, of course, you can believe that a man can become a woman can become a man. You can think you're a giraffe, I guess. I mean, this is the madness of our day.
Bill, I think that's such an important distinction, and it really does drive a lot of belief. You know, we talk about politics a lot and so forth, but they really, a lot of the beliefs that we have are rooted in these things. And one of the big ones that you just hit is the perfectibility of man, that that the secularists, without really saying so, but this does drive what they believe, that we can achieve perfection. And the Christian worldview, or even a non-secular worldview, would acknowledge that just man is just not capable of that.
Exactly. And for Christians, we believe in original sin. That is to say, we're a fallen people. Can we improve? Of course. And we should be compelled to improve. But the idea that heaven can be created on earth, this is what has motivated, you know, beginning with Marx,
yeah,
and even before him with Rousseau. It's always the intellectuals. It always begins with the big thinkers. And it's interesting, the way they treat their own family is disgusting, and yet they love mankind. It's Mother Teresa said it best. It's always easy to love somebody from afar, but the person right up front, that's a little more difficult to do. These ideas are dangerous, actually. It's not just wrongheaded. I want to make that clear. The listeners understand. People make wrongheaded decisions every day. I make them, you make them, we all do. But I'm talking about an idea which is dangerous, which is pernicious, which is the idea that we can create heaven on earth, that we can have a utopia where we get rid of all kinds of problems and inequalities and everyone will live happily ever after. This is dangerous because it leads people to believe that those in charge now have to be given full rein. And anyone who resists, well, they're subject to the guillotine, obviously. Robespierre was the master terror during the Reign of Terror. Where did he get his ideas? From the grand intellectual Jean-Jacques Rousseau. There's always an intellectual behind the bloodthirsty monsters in history.
Bill Donahue, his new book, Cultural Meltdown, comes out in June. You said a phrase there that I said, wow, that's a good one. Loving people from afar. That is such an ideology that makes people feel good. And I would say that this would be something that isn't exclusive to the political left, but certainly is something that I hear more from the left than the right, that you can love people by just simply making the government big enough to take care of them. And it's so central to so many of the things that we talk about, that is not a Christian ideology. The Christian way to go about caring for somebody is to personally go about, help that person individually, not just this like big mass of, I'm helping because I'm part of the society.
Right. And you can begin by at home. Marx loved all of mankind. What did he do? He impregnated his maid, Lenchen, and then had his colleague, Friedrich Engels, assume paternity because he didn't want to embarrass himself in front of people. So on his deathbed, Engels said, "That son, Freddie, is not mine. That was Marx's." What did and two of his daughters committed suicide after that. And then in the case of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, he wrote a book called Émile, telling everybody about child rearing. He had five childs, all illegitimate, from his scullery maid, and he never supported them, never even gave them a name, but he loved mankind. Now, Mother Teresa said it best, again. People said to her, "Listen, I want to change the world, but I can't save the world." She said, "Don't try. Try to save one. Try to save one person." That would be a monumental achievement.
Now, as Christians, we're going to get a lot of pushback because the people that we support for office don't necessarily have those morals all the time either. But you're saying, that's to be expected. In a Christian world, you look at people and know that every single person is flawed.
Exactly. That doesn't mean that we have to accept rogues. No, and we should throw them out when they're really that bad. But we have to understand that we're all sinners, that we're all fallen, and that we can't have perfection on earth, but we have to strive for improvements. But there's a very big difference between that and saying, look, there's no God. That's all nonsense. That's a fiction. I will fix things now. That's what the intellectuals always say, and they hand it over the baton to the activists. And once we get control of the command centers, we can socially engineer, we can biologically engineer people. Oh, yeah, we can create eugenics. Hitler tried that. He picked up on the ideas sponsored by the Rockefellers who brought about Planned Parenthood. There's a long history to this stuff. And right now, what you have in our American society today is out in California, they're considering now anybody who is mildly suffering from dementia, we can put them down. There's a bill out there. Where are we going with this, people? I mean, we're going right back to where I thought we gotten away from. But you see, that's what happens when paganism comes back and resurfaces and Christianity is taken out of the equation. This is what you get.
It's so important to talk about these things because they are the root of the tree. You know, the fruit that we're seeing, that we're looking around confused by and going, why is the world the way it is? You know, 50 years ago, it wasn't like this. Well, that's because our roots were better then. And we all kind of had a shared heritage in the Judeo-Christian ethic that we don't have now. So, Bill, I guess my big question for you as we close out here is, what does the future hold? How does one ideology win over the other?
Well, it's going to have to happen, go from the bottom up. Look, in my lifetime, I have a doctorate in sociology. I've known them, the left. I've been a professor. I've seen the left in control of academia and higher education. I've seen in the publishing world, the nonprofit organizations, a lot of the foundations, and the like. What's happened in the last 10 years, you've got traditional institutions such as the military, the medical profession, and the corporate world having gone woke, having gone left. There is some good news here, though, that they're beginning to put the brakes. They're saying, wait a minute, this DEI stuff, this the idea that you can trans into another gender, into another sex, the idea that we should just, you know, defund the police. They're beginning to say, you know what? This is not really working. So it's going to have, the elites are going to have to follow us. But that's a little bit more difficult because by definition, they're the big decision makers. But they can be forced to change as well. I don't trust most of the elites in this country anymore. And that's a sad commentary. I want to be able to trust them. But they're the ones leading this into this secular madness. But there's a lot of pushback coming from below. And I think the American people, we have to continue this fight. Otherwise, it's over.
Man, Bill, I almost wish I would have put your call here with us right at the end of the show, because it's like you took the entire 2 hours of Wiggins America this week and boiled it down to 10 minutes. So thank you for doing that. I hope to have you back closer to the release of your book, which is in June. It's called Cultural Meltdown. In the meantime, how do you want people to connect with you?
They can go to CatholicLeague.org, www.CatholicLeague.org. You'll see the latest statement I put out that everyone is wrong who said...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
We've got a liner we play pretty often. I should have played it coming into this interview. I don't know why I wasn't thinking about it. That says, all battles are spiritual in nature. And one of the reasons I like that liner is because often I play it. And then we just talk about something normal. But it's like a reminder that what we're dealing with is not always just what's on the surface. Bill Donahue is here to talk about that. He is an author. He's got a book coming out in June called Cultural Meltdown. Bill, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So one of the reasons that I said, yeah, let's talk to Bill is because of the topic of your book. You say there's a tug of war, and I have to agree with you here. There's a tug of war going on between two different strains of thought that are trying to, not control America, but control at least the worldview of the way America is headed. One is secular, the other is religious, spiritual. Please dive into that a bit for us.
Right. Well, the country is split, families are split, and hopefully the disagreements are amicable. A lot of times, anymore, they're not, unfortunately. But on the one hand, you have Americans who believe, as our founders did, that this is a special country, that we are founded on the Judeo-Christian ethos, that we believe in God and moral absolutes and natural law and natural rights. The only perfection exists in heaven, not here on earth, and attempts to achieve it can also backfire. Then you have the secularists. They're too smart to believe in God. They know better. They suffer from what the Catholic Church calls the sin of pride, which is the idea that I don't need God. I am self-fulfilling. They believe that you can create perfection and heaven on earth, which is every time they try their utopia, whether it be in the Soviet Union under Stalin or under Mao in China or wherever, it always ends in bloodshed. But they never seem to learn anything. They think everything is relative. There's no such thing as truth. And that's a big one. I spend a lot of time in the book going over this idea, this postmodern idea that there's no such thing as truth. Once you accept that, then, of course, you can believe that a man can become a woman can become a man. You can think you're a giraffe, I guess. I mean, this is the madness of our day.
Bill, I think that's such an important distinction, and it really does drive a lot of belief. You know, we talk about politics a lot and so forth, but they really, a lot of the beliefs that we have are rooted in these things. And one of the big ones that you just hit is the perfectibility of man, that that the secularists, without really saying so, but this does drive what they believe, that we can achieve perfection. And the Christian worldview, or even a non-secular worldview, would acknowledge that just man is just not capable of that.
Exactly. And for Christians, we believe in original sin. That is to say, we're a fallen people. Can we improve? Of course. And we should be compelled to improve. But the idea that heaven can be created on earth, this is what has motivated, you know, beginning with Marx,
yeah,
and even before him with Rousseau. It's always the intellectuals. It always begins with the big thinkers. And it's interesting, the way they treat their own family is disgusting, and yet they love mankind. It's Mother Teresa said it best. You know, it's always easy to love somebody from afar, but the person right up front, that's a little more difficult to do. So, these ideas are dangerous, actually. It's not just wrong-headed. I want to make that clear. The listeners understand. People make wrong-headed decisions every day. I make them, you make them, we all do. But I'm talking about an idea which is dangerous, which is pernicious, which is the idea that we can create heaven on earth, that we can have a utopia where we get rid of all kinds of problems and inequalities and everyone will live happily ever after. This is dangerous because it leads people to believe that those in charge now have to be given full rein. And anyone who resists, well, they're subject to the guillotine, obviously. Robespierre was the master terror during the Reign of Terror. Where did he get his ideas? From the grand intellectual Jean-Jacques Rousseau. There's always an intellectual behind the bloodthirsty monsters in history.
Bill Donahue, his new book, Cultural Meltdown, comes out in June. You said a phrase there that I said, wow, that's a good one. Loving people from afar. That is such an ideology that makes people feel good. And I would say that this would be something that isn't exclusive to the political left, but certainly is something that I hear more from the left than the right. That you can love people by just simply making the government big enough to take care of them. This is so central to so many of the things that we talk about that is not a Christian ideology. The Christian way to go about caring for somebody is to personally go about, help that person individually, not just this like big mass of, oh, I'm helping because I'm part of the society.
Right. And, and you can begin by at home. I mean, Marx loved all of mankind. What did he do? He impregnated his maid, Lenchen, and then had his colleague, Friedrich Engels, assume paternity because he didn't want to embarrass himself in front of people. So on his deathbed, Engels said, that son, Freddie, is not mine. That was Marx's. What did and two of his daughters committed suicide after that. And then in the case of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, he wrote a book called Emile, telling everybody about child rearing. He had five childs, all illegitimate, from his scullery maid, and he never supported them, never even gave them a name. But he loved mankind. Now, Mother Teresa said it best, again, people said to her, listen, I want to change the world, but I can't save the world. She said, don't try. Try to save one. Try to save one person. That would be a monumental achievement.
Now, as Christians, we're going to get a lot of pushback because the people that we support for office don't necessarily have those morals all the time either. But you're saying, that's to be expected. In a Christian world, you look at people and know that every single person is flawed.
Exactly. That doesn't mean that we have to accept rogues. No. And we should throw them out when they're really that bad. But we have to understand that we're all sinners, that we're all fallen, and that we can't have perfection on earth, but we have to strive for improvements. But there's a very big difference between that and saying, listen, look, there's no God. That's all nonsense. That's a fiction. I will fix things now. That's what the intellectuals always say, and they hand it over the baton to the activists. And once we get control of the command centers, we can socially engineer, we can biologically engineer people. Oh, yeah, we can create eugenics. I mean, Hitler tried that. He picked up on the ideas sponsored by the Rockefellers who brought about Planned Parenthood. I mean, there's a long history to this stuff. And right now, what you have in our American society today is out in California, they're considering now anybody who is mildly suffering from dementia, we can put them down. There's a bill out there. Where are we going with this, people? I mean, we're going right back to where I thought we gotten away from. But you see, that's what happens when paganism comes back and resurfaces and Christianity is taken out of the equation. This is what you get.
It's so important to talk about these things because they are the root of the tree. The fruit that we're seeing, that we're looking around confused by and going, why is the world the way it is? 50 years ago, it wasn't like this. Well, that's because our roots were better then. And we all kind of had a shared heritage in the Judeo-Christian ethic that we don't have now. So, Bill, I guess my big question for you as we close out here is, what does the future hold? How does one ideology win over the other?
Well, it's going to have to happen. Go from the bottom up. Look, in my lifetime, I have a doctorate in sociology. I've known them, the left. I've been a professor. I've seen the left in control of academia and higher education. I've seen in the publishing world, the nonprofit organizations, a lot of the foundations and the like. What's happened in the last 10 years, you've got traditional institutions such as the military, the medical profession, and the corporate world having gone woke, having gone left. There is some good news here, though, that they're beginning to put the brakes. They're saying, wait a minute, this DEI stuff, this the idea that you can trans into another gender, into another sex, the idea that we should just, defund the police. They're beginning to say, you know what? This is not really working. So it's going to the elites are going to have to follow us. that's a little bit more difficult because by definition they're the big decision makers. But they can be forced to change as well. I don't trust most of the elites in this country anymore, and that's a sad commentary. I want to be able to trust them, but they're the ones leading this into this secular madness. But there's a lot of pushback coming from below, and I think the American people, we have to continue this fight, otherwise it's over.
Man, Bill, I almost wish I would have put your call here with us right at the end of the show, because it's like you took the entire 2 hours of Wiggins America this week and boiled it down to 10 minutes. So thank you for doing that. I hope to have you back closer to the release of your book, which is in June. It's called Cultural Meltdown. In the meantime, how do you want people to connect with you?
They can go to CatholicLeague.org, www.CatholicLeague.org. You'll see the latest statement I put out, that everyone is wrong who says that past administrations all said you couldn't have religious themes and symbols with the Easter eggs. I have the proof. I found in 2002, this morning at my desk in New York City, and it's up on our website, a religious symbol, an Easter egg submitted by New Mexico in 2002 under George W. Bush. So we've been lied to again by the elites.
Bill, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thanks for your time. Appreciate you. More Wiggins America. Stick around.
Thank you so much.
Well, if you missed the beginning of the show, which I don't blame you for, that was about 2 hours ago. Don't expect you to hear the whole thing. You get the podcast, though. I'll tell you that now instead of at the very end of the show. You get the podcast. Hear everything that we've done in this show, including talking to Bill Donahue just a few minutes ago about the spiritual roots of our cultural rot. That's always fun, right? Yeah, you can get that. Also, talk to Old Roy and so many more things about Japan. If you missed the very first segment, like I just said, though, you missed what I kind of concluded from being over there in that culture. And just to conclude, if you didn't hear it, of course, I'm not going to do the whole thing again, but it's a combination of a very compliant society, which we are not, and there are good things and bad things about both of those things, but we're a very rebellious society. We question everything. We question authority, and some of that's good. Some of that is not always good when we rebel against good things, for instance, like we are in some ways. They are compliant, and that is good when the compliance is to good things. One of the best things about their society is that they teach a very solid, hard work ethic. And since they have a combination of being compliant with a solid work ethic, it makes a lot of their country work well. So that's all at the beginning of the segment. But the reason that I bring it back up here is because I found out somebody emailed me and said, "Hey, I heard you were in Japan. Did you see this news story?" Well, I hadn't. It was about Jimmy Kimmel. So when I was looking at the news story, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. It looks like Jimmy Kimmel was off of his show for a week, roughly at the same time as I was in Japan. And then I find out from his return monologue that he was also in Japan. That was weird. I didn't see him. If I did, I didn't notice it. Because you might have heard, there's a lot of people in Japan. And so you don't always notice everybody because it's just a sea of people all the time. Well, he was also not just in Tokyo where I was, but he was in Kyoto, which we did not go to. I'd really like to visit Kyoto, but it takes about a day to get there from Tokyo, just because it's not the easiest place to navigate to. But here is about a minute of his monologue on returning from Japan and comparing it to the United States. I want to see what you think about this.
But now, after traveling to Japan, I realize that this place, this USA we're always chanting about, is a filthy and disgusting place. We were in Japan for 7 days. Not only did I not encounter a single dirty bathroom, the bathrooms in Tokyo and Kyoto are cleaner than our operating rooms here. Everywhere you go, the bathrooms are clean, they don't smell bad, they have those toilets that wash you from the inside out. And not just in a hotel, restaurants, bars, truck stops. I went to 2 truck stops. I swear to God, the bathroom's cleaner than Jennifer Garner's teeth. The cleanest. Beautiful. And it's not just the bathroom. There's no litter. They clean up after themselves. They bring their garbage to their houses. And it's like the whole country is Disneyland, and we're living at Six Flags.
So a lot of what he's saying is true from my experience. It is very, very clean. And I noticed upon arrival at LAX, flying from Tokyo to LA, that the minute I walked onto U.S. soil, it was just dirtier. And so, you know, since it's Jimmy Kimmel, your initial reaction is, oh, of course this guy's just going to take every opportunity he can to trash the United States where he lives because that's what he does for a living. Well, having just been there, I got to say a lot of what he's saying about the cleanliness, the bathrooms, that stuff's true. And I told you at the beginning of the segment and at the beginning of the show why I think that is, of why I think some of the things that they do work better and run better. But the problem is, Jimmy, if you're listening, you realize that the what you're criticizing about America and the dirtiness, and he says some other things, I think I didn't use the whole thing, where he talks about homelessness here and some stuff. There's not a lot that I didn't include. Where is that happening? You know, you're criticizing, quote-unquote, America, but you're really criticizing parts of America. Because when I go into rural America, it's very beautiful, and smaller the town, a lot of times, I mean, unless you're talking about a real podunk town that is just like ghost town, nobody even lives there anymore. But if you talk about, you know, suburbia, smaller town America, typically you're talking about places that work a little better. They get along better. They move a little more smoothly. Things just work better there. They're not as dirty. I mean, part of that is just that it's more open space and there's less concrete. But when you criticize America, Jimmy, it sounds to me like what you're criticizing are the areas where you, who if you have identified as a Democrat, where your party controls everything. The parts of America you don't like are the parts where you have all the authority and control. Ah, but who's going to point that out? Certainly not me. Hey, this is Wiggins America. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you should do that by typing in Wiggins America wherever you get podcasts. See you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Well, if you missed the beginning of the show, which I don't blame you for, that was about 2 hours ago. Don't expect you to hear the whole thing. You get the podcast, though. I'll tell you that now instead of at the very end of the show. You get the podcast, hear everything that we've done in this show, including talking to Bill Donahue just a few minutes ago about the cultural, the spiritual roots of our cultural rot. That's always fun, right? Yeah, you can get that. Also, talk to Old Roy and so many more things about Japan. If you missed the very first segment, like I just said, though, you missed what I kind of concluded from being over there in that culture. And just to conclude, if you didn't hear it, of course, I'm not going to do the whole thing again, but it's a combination of a very compliant society, which we are not. And there are good things and bad things about both of those things. But we're a very rebellious society. We question everything. We question authority. And some of that's good. Some of that is not always good when we rebel against good things, for instance, like we are in some ways. They are compliant, and that is good when the compliance is to good things. One of the best things about their society is that they teach a very solid hard work ethic. And since they have a combination of being compliant with a solid work ethic, it makes a lot of their country work well. So that's all at the beginning of the segment. But the reason that I bring it back up here is because I found out somebody emailed me and said, hey, I heard you were in Japan. Did you see this news story? Well, I hadn't. It was about Jimmy Kimmel. So when I was looking at the news story, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. It looks like Jimmy Kimmel was off of his show for a week, roughly at the same time as I was in Japan. And then I find out from his return monologue that he was also in Japan. That was weird. I didn't see him. If I did, I didn't notice it. Because you might have heard, there's a lot of people in Japan. And so you don't always notice everybody because it's just a sea of people all the time. Well, he was also not just in Tokyo where I was, but he was in Kyoto, which we did not go to. I'd really like to visit Kyoto, but it takes about a day to get there from Tokyo just because it's not the easiest place to navigate to. But here is about a minute of his monologue on returning from Japan and comparing it to the United States. I want to see what you think about this.
But now, after traveling to Japan, I realize that this place, this USA we're always chanting about, is a filthy and disgusting place. We were in Japan for 7 days. Not only did I not encounter a single dirty bathroom, the bathrooms in Tokyo and Kyoto are cleaner than our operating rooms here. Everywhere you go, the bathrooms are clean, they don't smell bad, they have those toilets that wash you from the inside out. And not just in a hotel, restaurants, bars, truck stops. I went to 2 truck stops. I swear to God, the bathroom's cleaner than Jennifer Garner's teeth. The cleanest. Beautiful. And it's not just the bathroom. There's no litter. They clean up after themselves. They bring their garbage to their houses. And it's like the whole country is Disneyland and we're living at Six Flags.
So a lot of what he's saying is true from my experience. It is very, very clean. And I noticed upon arrival at LAX, flying from Tokyo to LA, that the minute I walked onto U.S. soil, it was just dirtier. And so, you know, since it's Jimmy Kimmel, your initial reaction is, oh, of course this guy's just going to take every opportunity he can to trash the United States where he lives because that's what he does for a living. Well, having just been there, I got to say a lot of what he's saying about the cleanliness, the bathrooms, that stuff's true. And I told you at the beginning of the segment and at the beginning of the show why I think that is, of why I think some of the things that they do work better and run better. But the problem is, Jimmy, if you're listening, you realize that the what you're criticizing about America and the dirtiness, and he says some other things, I think I didn't use the whole thing, where he talks about homelessness here and some stuff. There's not a lot that I didn't include. Where is that happening? You know, you're criticizing, quote-unquote, America, but you're really criticizing parts of America. Because when I go into rural America, it's very beautiful, and the smaller the town, a lot of times, I mean, unless you're talking about a real podunk town that is just like ghost town, nobody even lives there anymore. But if you talk about, you know, suburbia, smaller town America, typically you're talking about places that work a little better. They get along better. They move a little more smoothly. Things just work better there. They're not as dirty. I mean, part of that is just that it's a more open space and there's less concrete. But when you criticize America, Jimmy, it sounds to me like what you're criticizing are the areas where you, who if you have identified as a Democrat, where your party controls everything. The parts of America you don't like are the parts where you have all the authority and control. Ah, but who's going to point that out? Certainly not me. Hey, this is Wiggins America. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you should do that by typing in Wiggins America wherever you get podcasts. See you next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.